Cities are becoming richer and the pressure is rising to deliver affordable housing within them for the population at large. Joel Kotkin is a presidential fellow in urban futures at Chapman University in Orange, California. He has doubts about the current direction of travel in all of this. I asked him first, is the Moscow model, stacking people ever higher in multi-level apartment blocks, a sensible response to a big city's housing needs?
Oh, you want to know what I think of that?
Yeah.
Well, the first thing you want to do is you want to ask people how many of them want to live that way. It's extremely expensive per square foot, like maybe about five times as expensive as, a townhouse or a small single family. And then there's really the question of how big are the units going to be and how are people going to live? One thing we found is the more you have high density, the fewer children people have. Now, there are many people who would probably think this is good news. I'm not sure that that's a very humanistic worldview, but I just think that you're really inviting some very, very difficult circumstances, very difficult for children, very difficult for families. And I think that it sort of breaks the connection between people and nature. That's certainly a big problem with that. I mean, it's really very much like we're going back to Corbusier, you know, this sort of insane vision of housing as, you know, machines that people can live in, as opposed to a home, which is quite a different concept.
That's the classical visionary, as you say, French architect. Do you think then that when it comes to the world's cities, we've kind of gone as high as the mega cities can cope with? We shouldn't be looking to go any higher in terms of mass housing.
Well, certainly in terms of mass housing. Now, if very rich people who have pied-à-terres in different cities want to live in high-rises, well, that's fine. And, you know, there'll always be that group, mostly people without children, who want to live this way. But in terms of megacities, I think we ought to be looking at several other things. One, particularly in the developing countries, keeping the population more spread out into different cities. You know, having everybody move to Mumbai or New Delhi doesn't seem to be a great formula for the human existence. And similarly, I think in the more developed countries, this is just going to lead us to a demographic crisis in which people don't have kids. And then you take Japan by 2050, a country that is very dense, they'll have more people over 80 than under 15.
So you think actually the construction of cities is itself a factor in this demographic shift that we're seeing across rich countries of falling populations?
Absolutely. I mean, we can prove that statistically. Let's say what's here in the United States, where you have a preponderance of expensive, high-density housing, almost without exception, you have very, very low birth rates, where you have affordable, single-family, townhome kind of housing, you have higher birth rates. I mean, it's really, you know, when I worked in Singapore, people would say, well, look, the housing is too expensive. Getting enough space to raise a family is so hard. Why bother?
So, I mean, is this a planning challenge?
Well, there's certainly a planning challenge. I mean, the planners, you know, are like kids who never got over their Legos, and they want to take whatever exists and change it. And, you know, like Corbusier, you know, Corbusier thought that Manhattan wasn't dense enough. If you allow things to evolve the way people want to live, you'll end up with exactly what we have, which are economies that are spread out where there's lots of stuff in the suburbs. Right now I'm in Austin, Texas. Austin, Texas is getting massive migration from San Francisco and New York and these other very dense, very expensive cities, because as millennials get into their 30s, they're still mammals. They still want to get married. They still want to have children. They still want to give their children something like what they had as kids in terms of a backyard and space. And so what we're seeing is the movement of well-educated people in their 30s and 40s to these less expensive cities and into the suburban areas of some of the big metros.
I'm just trying to understand, though, isn't the reality right now that whether it's the public sector in a place like Moscow or the private sector almost anywhere, certainly in London, there is huge pressure to build new high-rise, high-value properties because there is a huge economic demand still for those properties in an overcrowded city?
A lot of it is very high-end housing for people who are not even from the country. So like, if you talk to the Irvine Company people in Orange County, California, 80% of the new homes are going to Chinese nationals.
So you're saying that's speculative investment, that's not real housing for real people?
A lot of it is speculative. And what's happened is the boom in high-end urban real estate is part of the same trend of inequality that Piketty and others have identified.
Right, but if it's the way you're describing, then presumably the market's going to sort this out. I mean, housing will disperse to the suburbs and the outlying zones.
But that's exactly what's happening in the United States. What happens is planners are desperately trying to squash this. They want everybody to live in a crate in the big city. That's their goal.
Why?
Why? Because it seems more manageable. You know, it's really interesting. I did a lot of work on the history of urban planning in the Soviet Union. And this is what they wanted. They wanted to cluster people together because it would be more socially beneficial. They said, yes, people would rather have a single family home and a backyard, but then their focus will be their families and their home and not their social role. There's always going to be 10, 15% of the population who wants that lifestyle, particularly when they're younger. But are we going to trap people in this kind of environment that, you know, looks like Fritz Lang's Metropolis?
The thoughts there of Joel Kotkin of Chapman University in California. And that's it for this edition of Business Daily. I am back in the hot seat tomorrow, looking in part at the concerns of British farmers ahead of the UK election next month. For now, though, from me and the team here in London, take care.